Today. My brother's been here many times. Anybody not heard Roger preach? Would you raise your hand? You've not heard him preach. Okay, so one, two, three. Anybody else over this side not heard him preach? Four. You hadn't missed much.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. God placed him in a great place years ago. Church where I got saved at, church where our dad pastored. And Roger and Marcia ministered there for 34 years or so and blessed the ministry. Cranberry, West Virginia, Cranberry Baptist Church. If you ever go by that way, I know he's retired now and someone else has taken over the position as pastor. But God bless the church in a mighty way, and I'm proud of my brother. The first brother was born was named Sonny. He was real bright. Second boy was born named James. He was real handsome. Third was, girl was born, Janet. We had another little girl who died prematurely in between there, Barbara. But Janet was just a beautiful young lady, still is today. And then Eddie, who went to our church here for quite a while before he died several years ago, and very intelligent. He should have been a teacher. He was very, very intellectual. A lot of good memory on him. And then Roger came before him, so he was not the baby. And Roger had, well, he wasn't handsome, he wasn't intelligent, he wasn't bright and wasn't beautiful. He's just a great guy, he really is, okay? And I'm glad he's my brother. He's been a personal blessing to me over these many years. Roger, come preach to us. Honored to have you with us today. And God worked it out.
Amen, brother. I love you. Amen. How about now? I may not be the most handsome or the pretty one or the smart one, but I was the favorite one. And if Mama was here, she would have to attest to that. But I would say, I'm the favorite one, right? And Mommy, we go, one of them. She had five, and we were all her favorite. How many know what that means, all right? And thank the Lord for it. Well, we're glad to be here. We appreciate this church and the many years that James has pastored here. He and Nancy have been here. I remember the first time that we came to Kannapolis, North Carolina. James was in Bible college, just finishing Bible college, and I was coming with him to Kannapolis. And he thought he knew where he was going. That was way before GPS, you know. You just had the directions down on a piece of paper or something, trying to follow it, make a right here, make a left there. And somewhere over in town, before you get to the railroad tracks, we were as lost as a goose. There's no question about it, trying to find where the keys lived. And the police came by, did they not? Remember that? And so everybody thought we got pulled over, but he knew he saw the tags from West Virginia, and he knew we were in trouble. So he came up to the car, and literally, when James asked where Pastor Weldon Key lived, he led us right to the house. And so we followed the police across town, and we weren't under arrest, but he helped us. There's no question about it. But we appreciate, again, the church, and certainly your pastors had a great influence on my life. No question about it. And a lot of stories that we could tell, some we've told, you've heard them over and over again. I'll never will forget one of those, and I'll never forgive him, but yet I thank him for washing my mouth out with soap. And I'd said a word that I should not have said, and Mommy was trying to take care of it. My two older brothers took me to the bathtub and literally put me down in the bathtub and washed my mouth out with soap. Matter of fact, if I drink any of this water, the bubbles still come out a little bit. No question about it. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of John, if you would. John chapter number 16. As we come to this passage, we realize that our Lord Jesus Christ is making his way to the cross. And he gathers his disciples together in what is called the upper room. In just a few days, our Savior would face the crucifixion and the burden of all of our sin. Thank God for salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial life that laid down for my sin and for your sin. The disciples, however, they were very sorrowful and quite confused. And gripped with fear with all that was going on. And during the most important time or difficult time of the Lord's walk upon this earth, he gives us the words here in this passage of Scripture, words of wisdom and comfort to the disciples. As we read our verse today in John chapter 16, we'll pick up in verse number 16, we realize that he's addressing the disciples in the upper room with primarily addressing the emotions of these 11 men. These men that were chosen by the Lord, to be used by the Lord, they loved him enough to follow him and were certainly, fearful of what was about to take place. Let's read together, if you would please, beginning in verse number 16 of John 16. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among them themselves, "What is it this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourself of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say to you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs from the time, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I'll show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." Verse 29, his disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no more proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Believe, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and ye shall leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." Our text verse, verse 33 of John 16. Would you read it together with me? "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Would you underscore this phrase, just simply, "be of good cheer"? There's no question about it, as I stand before you today, that all of us have some uncertainties in our life. We live in a world that is totally upside down. We have no idea what's going to take place in the days ahead. May I insert, it matters not who's in the Oval Office. The world is constantly changing. But the Lord God says, "I am the Lord God, thy God, and I," what? "Change not." We have all reason, no doubt, when we look around just at the world and all that's going on, whether economically or physically or emotionally. We look around, certainly there's something that comes over us, and we have some fear of what's going to take place in the days ahead. Speaking of my mother a little while ago, I could hear Mom plainly say so often, "What is this world coming to?" Have you ever said that? What in the world is this world coming to? And those that have gone on before us, they would not recognize the world in which we live now. And no doubt we wonder what's going to take place in the days ahead. But may I say, we know as children of God that God is in charge. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if He is the originator of my faith, He is the concluder of my faith, then He does know everything in between. It matters not what you may be going through today. We read this passage of Scripture that as a child, we can have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. We may be troubled physically, financially, emotionally, or whatever is going on in our life, but we can still have a deep set of peace down on the inside. May I ask you a question? Have you ever faced an incident in your life when you felt that you just did not know what to do? You're wondering even now maybe what the answer is and what direction should I take and how should I approach this problem that is before me? And maybe it's some situation that you felt that is beyond your control and that you have no way to change what's going on. Well, in this passage, the Lord reminds us that we may face moments like these in our life. We all have them. We never know what another day is going to bring. We never know what lies before us, even when we walk out these doors. But we do have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He would never leave us nor forsake us, and that He doth all things well. Would you say amen? Amen. Can you imagine how these disciples who literally walked with the Lord, what a blessing that would have been to hear the Lord Jesus Christ not only teach, but to hear Him pray and to hang on every word that He was saying. But these men, as they spent precious time with the Savior, were not experienced in much joy at all. They were not experiencing that. As a matter of fact, the mobs again were ready to crucify our Savior from the very beginning. But we read here again in this verse 33, He reminds us, "These things have I spoken unto you." That, notice what He says, "that in me you might have peace." I'm glad that our peace is not what's on the outside, but there is a deep, subtle peace on the inside. A peace that passeth all understanding that only the Lord can give us. That's where our hope is. And thus He reminds us that in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Someone said to me many years ago, it's not how things look, but it's how you look at things. Naturally, we all have an impulse and our intellect would just strike out, and physically we want to make things happen and change things because things are upside down. But keep in mind, it's not how things look. It's how you look at things. And when we look at it from the perspective that we're just pilgrims traveling through this life, and one day again, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and live with Him throughout all of eternity. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace." How are we going to have this peace? Let me give you three or four things. Would you write them down? First of all, when we think about peace, we recognize that it comes from the counsel of God. The Bible reminds us that there is safety in the multitude of counsel. But regardless of those around us in the workplace or at home or in our neighborhood or in the school systems or even politically, may I say, we may receive counsel, but there's nothing like going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing again that our counsel must come from God. Notice what He says as we break this one little verse down. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Does the Lord speak to you? Does the Lord speak to you? I'm not talking about audibly. By the way, if the Lord spoke to us audibly, I promise you we wouldn't be in this room today for sure. That's no question about it. But I believe that the Lord Jesus does speak to us. And how does He speak to us? Let's think about it. First of all, may I say, the Lord speaks to us through every incident that happens in our lives. And even though it may be something that is of negative to us and maybe even seem harmful and it could even be disgusting, that through that, the Lord speaks to us. Yes. And keep this in mind. We can go to a financial counselor. We can go to a legal counselor. We can go to a marriage counselor. We can go to a family counselor. But may I say, when we're talking about a counselor, we're not talking about some therapist or an analysis, somebody that can break it down and say, well, this is what's going on in your life. By the way, there's specialists for everything, is there not? Anymore, there's specialists, behavior specialists, speech, dietitians, talking about nutrition and financial problems, exercise and cognitive and whether we are really right or not. Some days I'm right, some days I'm wrong, amen? But I'm from West Virginia and some days we just act silly, right? But Tar Heels don't act that way. I know that's for sure, just as hillbillies. But oftentimes people say, you need to see a therapist. You need to get some counseling, no question about it. And we can go to all of these counselors, but there's none that would equal the Lord Jesus Christ. We're reminded in the Word of God over and over again about this counsel. But I want you to look at two or three scriptures this morning as we think about our counsel comes from the Word of God itself. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Realizing again that the Lord has given us this precious book. This is a God-breathed book. Would you say amen? Amen. And God again is speaking to us. Even in this 21st century, the Lord wants to speak to each of us. 1 Peter chapter number 1, look down in verse number 15. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if I call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. My question this morning is, what are we trusting in? What are we trusting in? Where is our counsel? The Bible reminds us again in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, knowing again that we're turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your question is, God has the answer. And God is able to meet every need. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. From the scripture, we can receive counsel. From God himself, as he speaks to us, as we pray and ask God's presence in our life and ask God again direction in our life. The Bible reminds us, you have not because you ask not. And he just simply wants us to ask him. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. God not only speaks to us through the scriptures, God speaks to us through godly people. Godly people, teachers and preachers, those again that we have confidence in and they're speaking the Word of God. God uses those. God speaks to us not only in that method, but God also speaks to us through difficulties in our life. We're reminded when he says, yea, though I walk through, David says, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Understand that comfort. He's talking about the comfort that only can come from the Lord. The paraclete, knowing the Holy Spirit, again, is able to comfort us. So keep this in mind, that even though we're walking through the valley, God has a plan. Amen. God has a plan. You do not have to raise your hand, but God knows. Those in this room now that seemingly are walking through the valley, you're just not certain how it's all going to turn out. But I want you to know, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God speaks to us, we understand, through the valley. God speaks to us even through difficulties in our life. Notice, if you would and like to turn with me to Psalm 119. I did not mark the scripture, didn't think I was going to read it, but I want us to read this passage of scripture rather than trying to just verbalize it or try to quote it. Notice Psalm 119. Down in verse number 65, 119, verse 65. As we read this psalm, we recognize this is the longest of all the psalms. But notice what he says right in the middle of this, just these two verses, Psalm 119, verse 65 and 66. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. And then he says in verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. As you read this passage of scripture, notice what he says. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The Lord Jesus wants to guide us as he teaches us not only through our prayer life and through the scriptures, but even through difficulties in our life. God is always teaching us. God speaks to us every day, no question. As we wake up and look out and see the sun shining and rising and see the blue sky, and we see again all that is around us, God speaks to us through creation. God again speaks to us through people, other people in our life, as we've just said. But God also speaks to us, may I say, in things that happen in our own life. In the book of Job, verse 33, verse number 14, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God is speaking. God is always speaking. I remember hearing my mother say to me so often, and even years ago when I answered a call to preacher, the first message was just simply, are you listening? Mom would say, are you listening? Are you listening? Mom would say, God has given you two ears and one mouth. That means you should listen twice as much as you talk. And know this, the Lord wants us to recognize that even though we have many volumes of books that we can turn to, God wants to give us direction as we just seek his face and just call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. God will show you in his time. It may not happen the way we think it should, and it may not happen when we think it should, but God always answers prayer. Would you say amen? God always answers prayer. God speaks to us, no doubt, through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, he reminds us that the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us. When we think about the Lord, and we understand that he gives us counsel, the counsel of God. He wants to guide us through life. What is your question? God has the answer. Amen. Are you seeking for direction? God has the answer. Our counsel again comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we're waiting on him, I report to you this morning, we also have the calmness of God. Not only the counsel of God, amen, but the calmness of God that can give us a deep, settled peace, knowing again that he doth all things well. He says that in me you might have peace is the second part of this text. Notice he says, these things have I spoken unto you. God speaking to us even now. And then he says, that in me you might have peace. Peace, or calmness that only the Lord can give us. People, we can go to the malls. We can go out into the public places. We can go out knocking on doors. And we see that there are people that are searching. People are empty. They're trying to find financial gain. It'll not be in that. Trying to find some material possession that will satisfy, or maybe for a while, until the newness is rubbed off. Through sexual gratification, through socially acceptance, trying to find again some way to escape. And many today are trying to escape reality. And they do so through alcohol or drugs or whatever the case may be, trying to find answers for their life. By the way, may we pause for just a moment and thank God for the time that someone shared with us the gospel. Amen. And we recognize again that that's what life is all about. I remember many years ago, Scott and Stacy, our children, both now married and have children of their own. Scott's even a grandpa now, which makes me a great-grandpa, my wife a great-grandma. But we were already great before that came along. But at any rate, I remember when Stacy and Scott and Marcia and I, we were out knocking doors. And Marcia and Scott went one direction, and Stacy and I went another direction. We were in an apartment complex. And we were running across all types of families and singles and those with children, some with not, getting prospects for the bus routes, witnessing to people and giving the gospel. Now, I never will forget, Stacy was with me, and I could take you right to that apartment this day. And I knocked on the door, no answer. I opened the screen door and knocked on the inner door. And finally, I heard a voice, "Who is it?" And Stacy, she was about maybe 8 or 10 years old, maybe younger than that. And so she's getting in behind me. She's probably 6 or 7. She gets in behind me. "Come on in," like that. Well, I wasn't about to open the door. And finally, this man came to the door. I never will forget it. He was all red face. His hair was all in shambles. He wasn't dressed, you know, as far as going out in public. He had a T-shirt on. He'd been drinking all night. "What do you want?" And as we began to talk to him, of course, he spotted Stacy, said something about this pretty little girl. And just a few minutes after chatting with him, talking to him as where we were from the church, and gave him the gospel. And right there at his door, I never will forget, Mr. William Penn, he asked Christ to come into his heart. He told me the story. This man was a very wealthy man at one time in the Beckley area, owned several businesses. And because of drinking, he lost his business, lost his family, lost his children. And he felt that he was at the end of himself. By the way, the only way a person is going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ is when they come to the end of themselves. In just a few minutes, that man trusted Christ. What a blessing it was. The next Sunday, he came to our church with a coat and tie on. Totally different man. Was baptized. I had the privilege to help baptize him. He was a big man. I guarantee you, I would have went down with him. But helped baptize him. And Stacy talks about that to this day. What an impression that made on her to see this man's life changed and how God used him. I remember standing and preaching his funeral and talking about this subject of him coming to know Christ as his Savior. And he told the story of all that he owned and all that he had, but he lost it all, including his family. There's a lot of things going on in people's life. They're trying to find the answer. Even in this room today or under the sound of my voice, there are those Christians that are trying to solve some problem on your own. And there's no peace. Philippians chapter 4 is a very good verse for us to look at. Would you turn there, Philippians 4. And notice down in verse number 6, just these two verses. "I do not know what lies before you or what you're going through, but I do know that life comes to all of us and we're trying to make some sense of it." The Bible says, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, these words from Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And would you read that next phrase with me? "And what? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And the peace of God. I'm thankful again that he can give us a peace that passeth all understanding. Whatever our trials may be, whatever is going on in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that he can give us this peace. And he says again, "Peace I give unto you." So we understand that there's a counsel that comes from only God and from his word. We also understand that as we trust him by simple faith, that God can give us a calmness even in the midst of the storm. We recognize that there is always a conflict in the life. Read our text, verse 33 of Matthew or John 16. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me that you might have peace." Then he says, "In the world you shall have," what? Tribulation, conflict in life. We find in this one verse that there's counsel that only comes from God that's going to solve all of our problems. We find there's only a calmness that God can give. And then he said, but in the world you shall have tribulation. That's conflict. There's people, no doubt, that are going through trouble even now. Many of you I don't even know. Your pastor and I, my brother and I, we haven't talked about anyone in this church, but I promise you there's someone in this church that are going through problems that you do not know how to handle it. By the way, Christians are not immune to trials and heartache and trouble. Why do we go through that? If God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, why does he allow us? Well, keep in mind, he's the originator. He is the concluder, as we said a while ago. He knows exactly where you are, and he doth all things well. And it could be that God's allowing us to go through things. Job reminds us that man is born of a woman and what? And full of trouble. When we think about trials, Matthew chapter 5, notice what he says in verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says you're happy even though that you're being persecuted in some way. No doubt we not only have trouble and trials, but certainly we have temptation. And there are those who will say, well, the devil never bothers me. Have you ever heard that one? The devil never bothers me. Then may I report to you, sir or ma'am, that simply means the devil already has you.
That's right. That's right.
He has you right where he wants you. You may not be in deep sin, but the devil knows exactly how to compromise with you. The devil knows exactly how to put you down where that you're not living a victorious Christian life, that you're not being the witness that you need to be, or you're not surrendering all to the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you go forward, the more the devil is going to bother you. He's always going to come against you. And so we recognize again, as we think about this passage of Scripture, about a counsel that can come from God, a calmness that can come from God. But even in all of that, there's always going to be this conflict in our life. The Bible reminds us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, what? Seeking whom he may devour. James says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will what? He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. No question about it. Let me add, lastly, as we think about this conflict in life, that there's still comfort for in this passage of Scripture. Look at it. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We know many Christians that are despondent. We know a lot of Christians that have found themselves discouraged or distressed or even in despair. But I want you to know, regardless of what we may go through, the Lord Jesus Christ has promised he would go with us. I'll go back to the psalm. You know it well. Yea, though I walk through. That means I'm going through. Are you in the valley this morning? Are you going through a heartache? Are you going through a trial? Are you going through something that you do not understand? Are things happening around you that you have no control of? May I say, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a matter of just trusting the Lord and knowing that, casting all of your care on him. Why? For he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Again, he's the God of all comfort. There's a wonderful passage of Scripture in closing. Let's go there very quickly. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You ought to mark this one down. Chapter number 1. Paul is writing the church at Corinth. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture as we look at this text. He reminds us in verse 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. And what does it say? And the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. As you read this passage of Scripture and on down, we understand that oftentimes God allows us to go through things in our life. And I've looked to Marcia many times over the years and said, why? Why are we going through this? But it's an amazing thing how God not only brought us through that, and allowed us to trust him even more. And be reminded that we do walk by faith and that he is in charge. But also that through that, we have been able to comfort others that are in any trouble. That's what the Bible says. So whatever you're going through, God will use that. And as a Christian, that we can be an encouragement to others. When we think about Barnabas, oh, I love that character, Bible character, the son of consolation. And the truth of it is, all of us can be sons of consolation, be an encouragement to others. And so when we think about all of this, he says, I have overcome the world. That's the last phrase right in this same verse. And he reminds us that we can be a comfort to others. But more than that, he says, I have overcome the world. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And our hope and our trust is in him. Let's look at one more verse and then I'm closing, okay? How many give me 5 more minutes? Could I ask that? Hold them there. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Now, that doesn't work anymore, does it, James? Have you used that one? Yeah, I'm sure you have. Many times. I heard that. Well, everything that I've learned about preaching comes from this man. So let's look at 1 John chapter number 5. They'll have to blame you then for what I've said today, right? 1 John chapter 5. Look, would you please, and we'll close with these two verses, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that condemneth the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We're reminded in this passage of Scripture that if we're born of God, we can be overcomers. And that we can have victory, even in a most difficult world in which we live. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand, would you please, and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing. The message this morning is just simply this. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Our heads are bowed for just a moment. And as the pianist and song leader prepare for a song, may I ask the question this morning while our heads are bowed. How many in this room today can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's the most important question we could ever ask. If I were to die right now, I know I would go to heaven. How many could say with me, I know for certain I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand of mine all over this room, all over this room? There may be some that did not raise your hand. Or maybe even if you raised your hand, you had some doubts. I want you to know the best place to settle that is right here around this altar with God's people in God's house. If you're in this room today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you may be going through life and you think you've got it all figured out. But I want you to know, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all going to come crashing in at some point. Keep in mind, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. I've met many people in the business world when, before we answer call to preach, you felt like they had the world by the tail on a downhill swing and life was all going well. But they were missing one thing, and that's knowing for certain when they die that they would go to a place called heaven. Not to a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's not what God has prepared for you. You're in this room today and you say, preacher, I do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And only your pastor, myself, looking on, you'd say, but I'm concerned as to where I'll spend eternity. It'll not save you, but it says I'm concerned, and I promise you, we'll pray for you. Is that you today, anywhere in this room at all? Just lift your hand about shoulder high, take it right back down and say, I'm not certain if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? And in this room today, as a Christian, you say, preacher, the Lord knows exactly where I am. And he knew the message that I need to hear from God's word this morning to be of good cheer. I've been going through some things in my life, and I ask that you pray for me. Is that you? Would you raise your hand with mine all over this room? Hands are going up. Are there others? Just lift your hand up and take it right back down. Let me encourage you to find your place around this altar, and others will come in just a moment as well. Father, bless them, I pray, this invitation. And thank you, Lord, that you are able to meet every need that we have in our life. We're reminded again, we have not because we ask not. But we're asking you this morning to meet these needs of these individuals that have raised their hands and even some who did not. And no doubt there's some valleys that they've been going through. There's been some times of discouragement, times of questions. Oh, Lord, help us all just to be of good cheer. And knowing, God, that you're able to use those situations in our life to strengthen us and that we would be a blessing to others and help others along this journey. Bless, I pray, our preacher, our pastor, my dear brother in the Lord. Touch him, we pray. Bless this church and those again who make this their church home. And may others come to know Christ as their Savior. And may we all be faithful to you.